Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulligan.
I'm Mark Whip.
And once again, coming from room 342 at the Hilton University Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, home of the Mid-Atlantic Legends Fan Fest.
Breathing a little heavy.
I am breathing a little heavy.
For a fella that works an hour a week. and you're off that 1 hour this week.
Oh, my whole schedule's thrown off. Today was an amazing day at Fan Fest.
So you heard.
One of the best days ever.
It was. I mean, there were things that happened that I can't even physically describe to you. I can't put into words what happened. And it's just too bad that you made plans with me and then broke those plans to go be in some jabroni's wedding.
I'd safe to say he's never going to hear this, but I did have to leave on Friday.
I'm not. I think he's a jabroni. If you're listening, you're a jabroni. If you don't like it, well, I'm not giving my home address out. Come do something about it.
Listen, this is going to be the... this is going to be the episode where Mark follows me to the parking lot. He has hired a crew, and my arm is going to get broken.
Yes, sir.
This is going to be all Mark. I have...
I'm going to hurt you so many ways, you're going to have to come up with a new way to scream.
Yes. We just finished a Topper's Pizza. We went with the... What is it called?
The old school pepperoni and sausage.
It was delicious.
Yes, you're throwing delicious around. You've been tossing that out. I would say all weekend long, but like you tossed that out the 6 hours that you've been here this weekend.
It was delicious. Matter of fact, best sausage and pepperoni pizza I've had all day. So I want to tell a story first because it was from the time that I was here, and I wasn't gonna. So I was telling Mark a story because when I was at the weigh-in today, we were talking about wrestling with somebody, and somebody was remembering a match they had seen, and they were telling me everybody in the match, and it was just not even possible because these people weren't even wrestling in the same decade,
right?
But
they're listening to this.
No, two of the people involved were Ole and Gene Anderson.
The people that they were talking about were Ole and Gene Anderson.
Yes, yes. It was a match involving them.
They were the ones telling the story. It'd be impossible for Gene Anderson to tell them.
No. Well, Friday morning was the Ole Anderson Q&A, and I think I told we haven't told the story yet. I asked a question in there. And I asked Ole, hey, what did you look for in a baby face to draw money with? And he had this great answer, somebody who would do what I told him to do.
Right.
Perfect. And great Q&A. Ole was just very – he took some – you know, basically said, hey, I was wrong about this. I was wrong about that.
Right.
Didn't really bury anybody. Just told the truth about some things.
Right, right.
But my original question was going to be – this. Okay. This was going to be my original
you
question.
You haven't shared this with me.
No, I want to see your reaction. My original question was going to be, Ole, how special was it to be one of the best tag teams ever with your brother?
No. Did you know until a minute ago when I told you that they weren't really brothers?
I did. Like, I knew before. Yes, I knew before Friday.
You just forgot.
I just forgot. And I was thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. Because he talked.
Boy, I'm glad.
He's talking about how he hooked up with Lars and Gene. And I was like, wait a minute. What do you mean they hooked up with each other? And I looked up.
You
his
would have
name
killed
was,
the credibility of our show if you'd asked that question.
Oh, my goodness. But his name, real name, Rogowski.
Yeah.
And
not Anderson.
No, and he really didn't like the name. He's like, huh, it's just a name.
Yeah.
Whatever. It made me a lot of money.
That's it.
He said it's still making me money.
Yeah.
So no relation to Mike Rogowski.
No.
Of Monsters, Inc. fame.
Really?
Somebody...
Hold on. It just got real on the third floor.
Yeah, we just heard a voice familiar to us from this weekend. We just thought there was almost going to be a fight. So I have to go back and edit because he was threatening someone.
He was threatening bodily harm.
Chances are an alcohol fueled rage.
Allegedly.
Maybe I'm starting to think that guy's got roid rage.
Well,
he got stung by a bee. So I have said my piece. And now I'm going to turn the floor over to Mark Whitman, who has...
I'm still kind of like waiting to hear if there anything else happens.
I didn't hear a door slam. Like, it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he walked by our door.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done anything to the gentleman, but...
No.
I'm wondering if somebody made a comment under their breath. He heard it.
Hopefully he's not listening to this.
Yes. Because I'm pretty sure he could whoop me and you both.
Yeah, and you already gave out your home address.
I will not call him a jabroni. I will not be telling him to come to the house and do something about it.
That man is dangerous.
Because I think he may do it.
Yeah. So Mark has shared some stories. If you are friends with Mark on Facebook, he's posted some just so great pictures. And if you listen to the show, the fact that I wasn't going to be here for about 30 hours,
right.
That's been no secret. It's been no secret how Mark has been just ribbing me about that. So Mark, take us through. I was in a wedding.
Right.
But tell people what you did today.
Well, I got up and I woke Angelina up and SoCal Val up. You can take
woo,
yeah, you can take
woo, woo.
I got up. I had supper by myself last night,
yep.
Which was nice. It's always nice to be in a strange city, go eat supper by yourself.
At an event where you don't know anyone else.
You don't know anybody. And then I just really kind of, I was really tired because we were up late the night before we recorded an episode of the show after all the other stuff had happened. And we didn't get in bed until 2:30,
right.
You know. And then I was up at 6:30 the next morning. So I was tired anyway.
Yeah.
And the news about Roddy Piper broke.
I mean,
and he had passed away.
That.
Which was sad. But it hasn't really put a damper on anything today. I think people have kind of just decided to not let it, you know, even the guys. I mean, you have to remember, I always, you know, you forget, you and I are fans of Dusty Rhodes, and you and I are fans of Roddy Piper, but a lot of these guys knew them as friends and as colleague and as co-worker. So I always try to take that into consideration when we talk. So there was a little talk about Roddy amongst those guys.
Yeah.
But I think everybody had kind of committed to, okay, we're still here to do a job and we got to get it done. Just like the rest of America.
Right.
When we have job, when things like that happen, we still have to do our jobs. And they did. And it didn't really... You know, they weren't spending a lot of time talking about it. They all made mention of it in their Q&As, of course.
Yeah.
So I, of course, just went to bed a little early. I say early. I went to bed about 11.
Yeah.
And then just kind of laid in bed and watched TV until I dozed off. And so there was really nothing extraordinary that happened Friday night. So I got up this morning, had a little Chick-fil-A by myself, walked across the parking lot, had breakfast. Still not much going on.
Right.
Went to the Lance Russell. Jim Cornette conducted a Q&A with with Lance Russell.
And we did too.
Yeah.
Unofficial.
So went to that. It was really good. He just kind of, he just told some old, you know, everybody asked what you would expect him to ask.
Yeah.
The same stuff we ask him. So you can listen to our interview that we conducted with Lance Russell.
Yeah.
And he addressed at least a couple. He talked about the bomb threat that they had in the studio one time.
Huh.
When and it was live TV. And they couldn't sell it as a bomb threat. So they like cut the commercial and emptied the studio out, except for him and Jerry Lawler. And they stood on camera, and Jerry Lawler cut a 20-minute promo while they looked around for a bomb. They were the only one, them and one cameraman. And apparently, but then they like, because they were afraid that if it got out that they had done that, that every idiot in Memphis would be calling up making bomb threats on Saturday morning to try to get, you know, to try to feel important. So they didn't want anybody to know that there had been a bomb threat called in. But they had that, excuse me, I'm allergic to something here in the hotel, or something's got in my sinus cavity, so I apologize for that. But there was some guy that was supposed to be part of an angle that had been hiding in a box all day, and they forgot to tell him that he could leave if he wanted to. So they said, you know, if the place had blown up, you know, he would have been in there and not realized anything was going on. He talked about Eddie Gilbert running over Jerry Lawler.
Right.
And how they immediately, apparently the police station was right across the street.
Yeah.
And people started calling the police.
Wow.
And saying Eddie Gilbert had killed Jerry Lawler.
Wow.
And they had to, like, Lawler didn't want to do it. He wanted the heat. He wanted to sell it. But they finally convinced him, you have to go back on TV and let people know you're not dead, because people are calling and calling in. They've bought into this. They believe that Eddie Gilbert had murdered Jerry Lawler on live TV.
They should have put an obituary in the paper. They should have sold it.
Well, Lawler wanted to.
Wow.
But they, and they talked about the angle where Jerry Lawler got drunk and called Lance Russell over to his house, and Lance sold that as though he really was drunk. So I have to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
He still walked that line in what he was telling between the, you know, the kayfabing and the,
yeah,
and the telling people what was really going on. He kind of walked that line.
Yeah.
He said in our interview, he said there, and then Honky Tonk Man confirmed that Lance Russell didn't realize during the Tupelo concession stand brawl was going to happen.
Yeah.
That they really were packing their gear up.
Yeah.
To leave, because they thought it was time to go home.
Yeah. The cool thing about that and his retelling is, first of all, Lance Russell's a professional.
Right.
He's been talking to fans, so he knows he's trying to create a moment for us. But the way he tells that story, it's like when he remembers it at 90 years old, that he's still in awe of what happened.
Right.
That day.
It's almost, he loves like, talking about
it. Yeah, it's almost like, I can't believe they did that. Boy, that mustard went everywhere.
Yeah, he talked about it, and he picks this jug of mustard up, and he flung it right, and he tells it just like he was coming, and he flung it right at his head, and the next thing you know, there was mustard everywhere. He said it in the thing, and everybody, of course, popped, you know, that he did that. And then it was kind of a lull. Ricky Steamboat did a Q&A, which I didn't make it to, because I went and got some lunch. And
you had one job, and that was to get... Never mind. What?
Yeah, I had one job, and that was to get lunch. So I went and got lunch, but I actually had a little company that time. Michael Hofer, a real friend, showed up and had lunch with me, so I wouldn't have to eat by myself three meals in a row out of town in a strange city with nobody that I knew. I want to thank him for being a good friend and living up to his commitments that he made to me. And I can't really say he made them to you, but the commitment to me that he'd be back today.
It's nice to have somebody in your life that when they tell you you're gonna do something, they're gonna do something that they follow through with.
I agree.
Especially a Christian minister.
Yeah, you gotta, like that would be a trait.
You kind of expect
that I would think a minister would want to have was, hey, I made a commitment to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
So if another friend of mine comes along and asks me to do something, I have to say, man, I wish I could.
Yeah.
But I have a previous commitment with prior this
engagement.
Friend.
Yeah. Sure.
I wish I could.
The guy. Boy, the guy who does you wrong on that. Ho, ho, ho.
I tell you
he's a monkey.
It's a good thing he knows how to plug a microphone into a computer. Because I don't think I could ever figure that out.
If you knew how simple. So people,
yeah, I really do kind of have an idea of how simple
people
it is.
Call me all the time. It's like, hey, man, I want to start a podcast. What I need? I'm like, a Mac?
Yeah.
Like, well, no. What do I? A Mac.
An iPhone even, right? I mean, you can do a podcast with an iPhone.
You can. Listen, this show's not about me.
No, it's not. It's really not, especially when we're relaying memories that you weren't a part of.
I know.
So it's about me, and it's about...
Well, for lunch today, I went to Cookout of Thomasville.
Let me just go ahead and tell you, nobody cares what you had for lunch.
I'm just trying to steal your heat.
So after that, I get out, and there's lines starting to form.
Mm.
And I got to meet who I consider... maybe even better than Ric Flair, the greatest traveling world heavyweight champion of all time. It was Harley Race. That's just my opinion. You can argue that the Funks or the Briscoes or the Kaniskis or even the Flair. Flair was the last of the traveling champs, but he didn't do it for long.
Right.
But Harley was that traveling champ that really went in and made the other guy look like $1 million, man. And for my money, he's my favorite, if not the greatest, he's my favorite of the traveling champs, and I like to watch his matches. So anyway,
so what? Just real quick, I mean about Harley Race. Harley's awesome, and if you haven't gotten his movie, The Greatest Wrestler on God's Green Earth,
right?
I guess I don't know if we've talked about this. So like, what are some of your like favorite Harley matches, or what? Like, what about his style, like, really just kind of
pulls you in? Well, I mean, it's not like it pulled me in then.
Right.
Going back and watching
it. I wouldn't even say acquired taste, but, like...
It couldn't have pulled me in then because it was the tail end of his stuff before I started watching him. But, like, excuse me. He just had an animated style about him.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That I thought that they needed then, that he... played to the guy in the last row. Everything he did was kind of over exaggerated, but in a believable way.
Yeah.
God, I'm sorry.
You're all right.
But I don't know. I like his style. I like the fact that he would show up and the other guy would look good. I love the, hey, somebody take the money.
Yeah.
I like to go back. I love to watch his old interviews, his old promos. I find his stuff on YouTube. And I just like him. I mean, I don't, because it's so different.
Yeah, it is.
And I really think that's what it is. When I watch that older stuff, it's so much different than what's on TV today.
Yeah.
And it's so much different than what we grew up on.
Yeah,
it's kind of the in between of the 80s and the 90s stuff that we grew up on, and the 60s and the 50s and the 70s. It kind of marries both of those things together.
Yeah.
And I just like him, and I think he's a legitimate
guy.
I mean, they give him the champ, they give him the title because of that.
Yeah. I think it started with Fez, but it was treated as a legitimate sporting title.
Right.
And the world champion, because of that, because of the respect for the title, would wear a suit, you know, would dress up, would be presentable. And Harley did that. And then when you got to Flair wasn't dressing up out of respect for the title. That was part of his gimmick.
Right.
And so to me, Harley was that. It was the end of an era.
He was because he was better than you.
Right.
Yeah.
But for him, being the champ was like, you're going to have to come take this from me.
Right. Right. Good it's stuff. My belt, and you got to come take it.
Yeah. Eight-time world champion. And
eight-time world champion is important because that's what he wrote. on the incredible poster that I got, the Rob Schamberger painting of Harley Race holding the 10 pounds of gold. And Harley signed it 8 times, and I got my picture made with him. Wasn't a big interaction. He's not in very good health.
Yeah.
He is in a wheelchair. And that's sad to see a man that was that well thought of and well respected and that much of a tough guy.
Yeah.
And be that way.
And we told this story before, but bears repeating, talk about how tough he is. He was supposed to be here at Fan Fest last year.
Right.
He fell.
Yes.
Got in the car to drive down here, got maybe an hour or so down the road, was in so much pain, turned around, went home. Turned out the guy broke his hip.
Right.
No sold it. No sold a broke hip in his 70s.
And not for nothing, and I forgot mine, the whole reason he was here last year,
right,
was because the DVD released.
Yeah.
The Greatest Wrestler on God's Green Earth, which is great.
Yeah.
It's a great documentary about Harley. And he was here, or he was coming here to sell and sign the DVDs, and he made sure that he didn't make it last year, but he made it this year with this. And they said, if you bought the movie last year and you bring it, he'll sign it for you for free.
Yeah.
They were going to make sure you got your movie signed.
Yeah. Did they put out really cool. the movie?
Yeah, today? They had yeah. the movie. Yeah, they had the movie out if anybody wanted a copy. But
that's a like I said, that's a great documentary.
Yeah, yeah, I really liked it. They put out some good documentaries.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So met Harley and then met Honky Tonk Man and kind of like Ole last year. I can't tell the whole story.
Right. It's a great story.
Because it is a good story. But it was a great interaction. I don't know if I can tell a clean family. Do you want me to try? I mean, it's up to you because I don't care. I'll tell it exactly how it happened.
If you say bleepity bleep, they'll know what you mean.
Okay. Well,
whatever sound effect or whatever you want to use. I think.
If you've ever watched Honky Tonk Man shoot interviews, he gets wound up, and he talked about it in his Q&A. He said all the guys are mad at me when I first started doing them, but none of them were mad about the fact that they got paid a lot of money to do one too.
Right.
And really, without him kind of getting them going, it wouldn't have taken off like it did. And if you were following tape trading at the time, like it was, you've got to see Honky Tonk Man shoot interview. I can remember hearing that because he did what you want. He dished the dirt. But even he said, you and I've had this discussion. He said, there's nothing else for me to tell.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know that I'll be doing another one like that anyway, at least where I'm telling that kind of stuff. He said, because there are no more stories left to tell. And a lot of the guys have passed away, and they're not here to stand up for themselves.
Yeah.
And he was kind of clear on that, too, you know, that I'm not going to talk about somebody that ain't around.
Right.
So he said he was pretty much done with that. But anyway, his whole gimmick was just to bury people. Like, you want to know what burying is, watch a Honky Tonk Man.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So he had a lot of expressions, and I said, would you mind calling me a no good blankety blanker?
Yeah.
And he said, I gotta be honest with you, I don't think they'll let me. I don't think I should. And plus, you haven't done anything to offend me. Yeah. And I usually reserve that for people who've done something to tick me off.
Yeah.
And he said, why do you want me to do that anyway? And I said, I'll be honest with you, I just like it when you say it about other people. I want to be able to tell everybody you said it about me, which he thought was funny.
And when they took the picture, in the picture, Honky Tonk Man just has this great smile, this great look on his face, but it's a, hey, I was just laughing at something really funny. Look.
So, where was I at in the middle of my story?
You made him laugh, yeah.
He said, I can't. They won't let me.
Yeah.
Plus, you haven't done anything to tick me off.
Right.
And I reserve that for people that tick me off. He said, but I will make you this promise. If you ever do something to tick me off, I promise I'll call you a no good blankety blanker.
Yeah.
But he did it. He did it without doing it.
Great.
And I thought that was really cool. And then I saw him right before his Q&A. And he said, are you coming to the Q&A? And I said, actually, I'm going to come in late just so I can tick you off. And he laughed again, and he came.
Oh, man.
And he said, all right, then, I'll see you in there.
And how was his Q&A? Was good?
Yeah, it was really good. He answered the questions. I mean, he...
Anything stick out to you? Any questions on it?
If you've heard his shoot interviews, there was nothing. He's actually calmed down a lot.
Right.
He's not doing the talking bad about stuff.
And he confirmed that Lance Russell.
He did confirm that. Yeah, I said that earlier.
Because
so.
I thought, oh, Lance was working me.
No. Well, they made.
Doesn't take a lot.
Doesn't take much to work you.
No, it doesn't.
Everybody seems to tell the story that they didn't realize, that they knew something was might happen, but they didn't realize it was going to be like that. Like, they thought that it was kind of a done deal.
That's great. That's great. And then you had the thing. I was so happy for you today, because I know Harley Race is one of your favorites.
Yeah.
And then you're a bit, who doesn't like Honky Tonk Man? The greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
And he talked about, remember what I've said on here, that was a work. And he talked about that. He said, that thing took a life of its own. He said, I was getting beat all the time.
Yeah.
Everywhere I went. At the house shows, I would get beat. And that was the thing. Everybody had seen me get beat. And that's why I was saying I was the greatest of all time. And everybody knew I wasn't the greatest of all time. And he confirmed what I've been saying on the show, which was that. And then I've heard him say this before, too. He said, I'd go and say I'm the biggest, baddest man. You see me walking through town, you better get out of my way. And he said, I wanted every 12-year-old kid in America to say, he better not come walking down my street, because I don't know about any of those other guys, but I can whip the Honky Tonk Man.
That's great.
He did tell, let me say this, he told an incredible story, talking about heels knowing how to keep their spot and old school getting your heat. They brought the Freebirds in when he was doing the Blind Bombers with Larry Latham.
Right.
And he said they saw the writing on the wall. There ain't going to be two top heel teams. There's only going to be one top heel team, and it had been them.
Yeah.
And now they brought the Freebirds in.
Yeah.
And they put them in a match against one another, a heel versus heel match.
Oh, wow.
And said, Larry Latham said to him, as soon as the match starts, drop down to your knees and start begging off.
That's great.
Because nobody will pull for a coward. And he said, as soon as the bell rang and Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy started dropping down or started walking towards them, they dropped to their knees and begged off, and everybody just booed them. And he said Terry Gordy realized what was going on.
Yeah.
But Michael Hayes didn't.
Yeah.
He said Michael Hayes started jumping all around like he was just ready to kick our tails, and everybody started cheering for him because they thought they were the baby faces. And 2 or 3 weeks later, the Freebirds were gone because it didn't work.
That's
a great story.
I remember watching the Memphis debut of the Freebirds.
Yeah.
And because they had like something covering Michael Hayes's face, and Terry Gordy was the main talker. And it was just a great, great thing. Yeah. Speaking of tag teams.
Right.
Mark says to me, I got a picture today of one half of two of the greatest tag teams ever. And it took me a moment to register it. And now I know what he meant. Who'd you get a picture with?
Road Warrior Animal.
Oh.
And he had the gold spikes, the gold spike shoulder pads with the skulls on.
Yeah.
And he was doing a cool deal. They had the shoulder pads, and they said, do you want to put shoulder pads on for the picture? And I said, Animal, when am I ever going to have the chance to wear the Road Warrior shoulder pads again? Of course I want to wear the shoulder pads, which he laughed at. He thought was funny. And I put the shoulder pads on, and then I committed to something that I saw another guy try it, but he wouldn't commit to it.
Yeah.
He got scared. He thought people were going to laugh at him maybe. I don't know what the deal was. But I went into full-on Hawk mode with the shoulder pads on when Animal made his classic pose with his, you know, the grimace on his face, and I stuck my tongue out like Hawk.
Perfect.
And I've got a great picture now of me and the Road Warrior Animal, and I got my tongue hanging out like a mad dog with the shoulder pads on.
I mean this in all truthfulness, on Facebook and in so many places, I have seen so many pictures of fans with wrestlers.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm being the straight shoot. That picture of you and Animal is, bar none, the best fan and wrestler pick I have ever seen.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. Like, people just standing there. I mean, you got a great picture of Harley Race. You're just sitting there.
Right.
But that picture with Animal is like, what did Victoria say to you?
You really marked out there.
And it's great. Because it was just awesome. Like, I was... My hand was touching your hand. I was going to say my toe was touching. No.
No.
But it was great. It was good. I cannot oversell that picture. I cannot.
Yeah.
That pic, dude, I want you to know. Like, oh. And I'll tell people, that's used to be my friend. That's the guy I left for 30 hours. This is what happens.
And then met Scott Steiner, was really, I didn't like stand there and talk to him for a long time. It was just, hey, how's it going? I appreciate you being here. He said, man, I appreciate you being here. And that really was it. I mean, there wasn't much more to that. We had our picture made. But every kid that walked by him, despite the fact that he played the big bad at the wrestling matches tonight.
Yeah.
He slapped high fives with every kid that came through.
Yeah.
He talked to every child that wanted to talk to him. That's all you can ask for. I don't expect him to talk to grown folks.
No.
It's not what he's here for.
No.
He's here to make money. And I don't begrudge him that.
Right.
But he talked to every kid that wanted to talk to him, and he told every single one of them, without exception, stay in school and get a good education and make something out of yourself.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a canned answer, but you know what? A lot of people just walk by those kids and don't.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Don't pay them no attention. I see it. You see it at these things all the time. He did.
Yeah. Speaking of kids, you don't have to share the name because we want the young man to be surprised, but tell about Animal's interaction about a kid with you.
Oh, he'll be fine. He's not going to hear this before.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
He's going to get the thing. Yeah. My buddy Bryce.
Yeah.
Who I've talked about just had a birthday. And part of the deal with Animal was you got assigned 8x10, and it was just him. It didn't have Hawk in it. And, he had him with Hawk, but I got the one that was just him. And I said, hey, he was just signing Road War Animal and stuff. But I said, look, you know, my buddy, his little boy, he just had a birthday. He found you guys on DVD. Would you mind putting two Bryce on it? He said, man, for a kid, no problem.
Yeah.
So he signed it, personalized it for Bryce so he can have that. I told Noah I'd get it for him for a birthday present.
Nice.
From us.
Not from the...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, this... Listen. If nobody... If our friends and family, not fans. We don't want fans. If people don't listen to the show, it's just me and you.
Yeah.
Sitting in a hotel in our underwear talking.
Quit lying. We're not in our underwear.
One of us.
You are, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
You think I wear basketball shorts under my blue jeans?
It's dark in here, and I've got jet lag again. Did you see anybody else, you know?
Man, I'm trying to think. I mean, so many people, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I got the cool 45.
Right. Right.
Which is like really like a cool piece of memorabilia.
One of a kind.
For those that don't know, back in the late 70s, that Jimmy Hart and the Gentrys recorded a 45 with two songs for Jimmy Valiant on it.
Yeah.
They just sold it over Memphis TV.
Yeah.
And it's a very, you know, rare, I guess, is a word that gets thrown around a lot, but you don't see a lot of them.
No.
You're not going to find them at a used record store.
No.
It'll take getting one from, Jim Cornette.
Because who knows how many they made.
Right. So Jim Cornette had some extras. I also collect vinyl. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
And he had written out, handwritten, this is the description of the what it is, the 45, 1970 something single. Anyway, so it's got that handwritten at the top by Jim Cornette,
yeah,
bought from Jim Cornette. Jimmy Hart and Jimmy Valiant were both here. So I went over, Jimmy Hart signed it, Jimmy Valiant signed it, and now I can take it and frame it. And it's just a cool piece of, unique. I don't know that there's another one in existence.
There's not.
That was bought from Jim Cornette.
Right.
Signed by now there may be one, there may be a guy that gets one of those at every wrestling convention that the three of them are at together because he sells one, but I doubt it.
Talk about Jimmy Hart's reaction to it, because that sold to me that he had never signed anything like that
before. Right, yeah, like he... Didn't he take his sunglasses off?
He did. I mean, he was genuinely...
He was like, wow, man, this is really cool. Because, like, he... But he was like, you've got to listen to the music. Because the music's really good, baby.
Yeah.
If you've ever talked...
Listen to the other song.
Like, the way that Jimmy Hart talks on television is the way that he talks in real life.
Yeah.
It's... Baby, I tell you, you got to check this out, baby, because it's a good song, baby, and I think you'll really dig it. You know, I
cannot oversell how nice
it is. It's got a good beat, and it's easy to dance to, baby.
Yeah.
You know.
Come on, baby.
I don't know with Jimmy Hart and Lance Russell that I've ever met, as far as wrestlers go, two more genuinely nice people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Honky Tonk Man was really nice. Jim Cornette's always been really nice.
Right.
But Jimmy Hart... And Lance Russell may be the top of the... And that's why I wind up... That's why I got my picture made with Jimmy Hart. Because he was so nice.
Yeah. You weren't planning on doing
that. I wasn't
planning
on getting my picture made with him. No. But he was just such a cool guy. Like, we talked before I got the picture. And he never tried to sell me a picture.
It
was just like, hey, you happen to... You and me both. Not me specifically.
Absolutely.
But you and me. And we were just like walking by... And that's when we started talking, and he said, I wish I'd have had you in Memphis because I'd have got the belt off of Lawler. But we talked for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, this is a nice guy. I'm gonna get my picture made with him just because he's a nice guy.
And when he was leaving, he was going up the escalator.
Yes, this is how nice he is.
Yeah. He's walking up the escalator. I mean, he's going up the escalator, and it's almost to the point where he will... We can't see
him. You're standing underneath and you won't see him anymore.
And we're walking out of where the refreshments are. We don't say anything. We don't motion to him.
No.
And he just happens to glance. He's like, hey, man, see you guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. All right, baby. Thank y'all for everything.
Didn't.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that's how nice he was. Most of those guys, and I understand it, justifiably, don't make eye contact as they walk around these things.
Right.
Because eye contact... The next thing you know, somebody stands around and they got them hemmed up for an hour.
Yes.
And so most of those guys, and I'm not mad at them. I understand. I don't blame them.
Right.
There's no issue. I would do the same thing. If somebody just wants to go take a whiz.
Yeah.
And they can't do it.
If you haven't listened to our episode on how to, the people you meet at a wrestling convention and how to act at a wrestling convention.
Right.
We're going to have another part to those because we've added some characters.
Yeah,
we've added some characters to it, and when you and I were talking about it today, where BJ Whitmer from Ring of Honor has been around this weekend, and he's on crutches. He injured his knee, and I've just seen him, and we've made eye contact, and just whatever. Well, he was leaving the hotel tonight, packed up, and I just went up to him and said, "Hey, haven't got a chance to talk to you. Just want you to know, appreciate your work. I think you're a really good heel. I hope you heal up soon and you know, see you back in action." And I can't say what he said. He said, I'm rehabbing rehabbing really hard. And
rehabbing the poop out of it.
Yeah, I'm rehabbing the crap out of my knee, which I guess that's a good thing. But it's, again, super nice. And I said to you that I felt like I exited – the conversation too early because he was still, I moved first.
Right.
Like he stopped. It wasn't like I was trying to keep up with him.
Well, I think
like
he probably knew who you were. You know?
I don't
it's
know.
Like, hey, I've been kind of wanting to talk to Heath. But I've been kind of nervous about I didn't want to bother him, you know, when he wasn't, if he's on his way somewhere.
They know when I'm walking around that lobby with my microphone and my digital audio recorder that I'm a man on a mission.
Right.
And they know that guy ain't playing. He's a working.
Yeah, he's getting somewhere. He's moving as fast as those stumpy legs will carry him.
They know. They know. You know what? The guy took 30 hours off. The least he can do when his sorry butt gets back is put a little work in.
Right.
Because you lined up a bunch of interviews today.
And then we weren't. Well, we're not going.
Yeah. Matt authored.
We've made the mistake of talking about interviews before and then they're not happening. And so we'll.
No, and I wasn't going to say who it was. But you got to meet. We talked about John Hitchcock.
Yeah.
On a previous episode. Uh-huh. And you got his book signed.
Right. Front Row Section D. Who is the guy, along with his friends, Bruce Mitchell of The Torch, yeah, and some other guys. If you've ever been to a wrestling show and carried a sign, you can thank those guys because they really got that going in a lot of ways. And he and I talked about that. He said, I'm not saying we're the first ones that ever carried a sign.
Yeah.
Clearly, they're not that.
Yeah.
But when they took it to art form.
Right. And he's an artist.
Yeah. Yeah, he drew a picture of himself inside my book.
A picture.
Michael Hofer, he drew a picture of Abdul the Butcher.
And I definitely read some tremendous stories in this book. It's not a flowing narrative. It's just
stories.
50, 60 short stories.
Right.
And he gets into wrestling at some point and does some different things. It's good. Very entertaining book. So it's not a book you have to read from cover to cover. You can just kind of pick out stories. Right. It's really good. And it's available on Amazon.
It is.
There's banners. Click you know on. What? On this episode, there's a banner above this. And it's the cover of his book. Go ahead and click on that and help the show.
There you go.
Michael
Hofer bought a copy today. And then based on my recommendation, standing there, and then I saw John later, and he had a picture of had the Mid-Atlantic Memories documentary. He said, I was in the dang movie, still had to buy a copy, but thanks to you helping me sell that book, I was able to pay for it. And I said, well, don't feel bad. I was in the movie too, and I had to buy a copy.
Yeah. Hey, happy to do it.
Glad to do it.
If you haven't bought your copy, NWALegends.com, click on Mid-Atlantic Memories documentary, and you can hear and see the true greatness that is the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Territory. And then Mark and I are in there, too. Right. Mark more so than me.
No. Well, that's just because I occupy more screen space than you.
You do.
I spent the entire, as soon as I flashed on the screen, because we were watching it with, I don't know how many hundred people were in there.
Oh.
And it's on the big screen.
1,200.
And they were sold out to the rafters.
Sold out to the rafters. Whatever.
So, it's funny, and I don't know how you felt about it, but that's the first time I've ever obviously been in a movie.
Right.
So as I pop up on screen, I started critiquing my choice of shirt that day, and it was just like, oh God, whatever.
You know what I was thankful for? That I didn't wear the shirt. I have it with me. I wore it to the rehearsal dinner, but the shirt that I was wearing in the movie.
Really? Were you that way? Did you critique, were you looking at yourself and going, why did I,
No, I was just like, oh, I'm not wearing that shirt, am I?
you were worried about the, wonder what I said. What story is this? Oh, it's the one when I said, I don't belong here.
You're right. I thought they picked a good one that fit my character.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Because there were certain parts of the movie that I was like, oh, I hope they don't use what, because I wasn't really good when I talked about that. But, I'm pretty good most of the time.
you are.
Can't say enough about the talent of John and Doska,
no,
Quaylen, and just Those guys have been here all weekend working
hard.
And
we're here last year.
Filming everything.
Yeah.
This hadn't been, they haven't gotten a break.
No.
And just so if you have purchased, you know, a FanFest DVD, which I did, or watched some of the videos online, man, those guys, just really great, really great stuff. And like I said, just genuinely nice guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Are we ready to talk about some wrestling tonight? We watched some wrestling here on Saturday night.
We did.
Well, you did. I got there late.
Yeah, you missed some of it, but that's okay.
It
was cool. Bobby Fulton was in the opening match, and I kind of knew beforehand because I saw him walk through, but he didn't have the whole get up on. A sharp dressed man started playing, and he came out with the red bow tie and the jacket with the tails on it, and he kind of did the old fantastic, which he had to, I think. With Tommy Rogers passing, I mean, it was not going to be easy for him. Not that he couldn't have played the heel, but I think it just made sense for him to play the book. Plus, he walks around out there and shakes hands with everybody and talk. I mean, I talked to him
super
earlier.
Super nice, yeah.
Yeah, I talked to him this afternoon for a few minutes. Just a really not and like just like talking, just like you and me.
Yeah.
I mean, just because he's just always around. He's such a cool guy.
Yeah.
But he come out, he did his shtick, and he, like that match, he worked with one of the guys who's doing the fantasy camp training.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was an old school wrestling match.
Yeah.
It was so good, man. He played the baby face, the other guy played the heel.
Yeah.
And it was incredible to watch a wrestling match with a crowd of people that wanted to play their parts.
Right.
And didn't poo-poo on the fact that, yes, Bobby Fulton does not look like he did in 1987.
He doesn't look like the athlete of the day is supposed to look.
Right. He doesn't.
Right.
But everybody in that crowd gave him the respect that he deserves for who he is and what he's done.
Yeah.
Nobody was cracking on him. And nobody was cheering for him, ironically.
Yeah. Yeah,
There was nobody chanted, "You still got it."
Yeah,
to Bobby Fulton. What they chanted was, "Let's go, Bobby."
Yeah,
and they did the instead of "This is awesome," clap 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 clap.
Yeah,
it was "Let's go, Bobby," clap 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 clap.
Are you sure it was clap 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 clap?
You know, it could have been clickety clack, yakety yak, don't talk back. It could have been any of those things. But
don't talk back.
But it was a crowd of people that wanted to pull for a baby face and boo a heel.
Yeah.
And they did the classic match where he just got beat down. He got the guy down to one knee. That's the guy never left his feet.
Yeah.
That I know of. I don't think he took a bump.
Yeah.
For Bobby Fulton. He went down to his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a bunch of hope spots where you'd think he was going to knock him down, and then he'd hit Bobby with a boot,
yeah.
And then he schoolboyed him, rolled him up real quick.
Not quite a distraction.
Not a distraction roll up, a schoolboy.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah, I know.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
You know, the schoolboy is, you got too cocky.
Yeah.
You hit the ropes, he drops down, rolls you up because he's quicker than you.
Yeah.
He weathered the storm of your beat down. He was quicker than you, and he got the pin. That's a schoolboy. And they didn't do another schoolboy on the show.
Right.
I can tell you this, none of the other matches ended in a schoolboy.
Right.
And they're having a show tomorrow. I'm guessing that one of the matches won't end with a schoolboy.
It's like whoever booked the matches, which these matches are all about the young guys, the talent that has been going to the training school these past few days. Putting into practice, and it's all slow down, sell,
right?
Take your time,
right?
Not a lot of flipping now. Cedric Alexander,
yeah, he had a great match.
Mike Mooneyham posted a picture, and I'm so sorry, I cannot remember the young man's name.
Yeah, I can't either.
Maybe Jake Posse. I don't. That was a great match.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. That was really good.
Very enjoyable
high
match.
Flying and big bumps. And nothing wrong with that. I mean, no. I always said wrestling show should be like the circus.
Yeah.
There should be a lion out. I mean, and a high wire and a trapeze.
He did,
and some
Cedric
clown.
Did a backdrop. And that guy, when he got so elevated, I thought he was going to hit the ceiling of the ballroom.
Yeah.
And he was a big, muscular guy.
Yeah, he was
guy,
stocky, man.
And did a double flip into a leg drop off the top rope.
Yeah, he did a 450 splash, didn't he? Or a 450 swan. I mean, a swan.
He did a... he caught Cedric in midair. And picture... I don't know the name of the move. It was a fallaway slam where he did a complete flip.
Yeah, where you toss the guy back. SOS. It's called a SOS slam.
But it was phenomenal.
You talking about where you got him in a body slam and toss him over your head?
No. I'm talking about Cedric came off the ropes for like a cross body block, and he caught him, and he cut a complete flip into a body slam.
You. I got you. He just did a back flip and held on to him. And
Splashed him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But it was awesome.
And you said you've never seen that. I have.
I'd never seen that
I've
move,
seen
no.
that done before. If you ask me who did it, and I don't know, but I've
right.
seen it before.
So excited to meet Cedric, and haven't got to meet him this weekend yet because I haven't been here. But
you gotta be here to meet somebody.
Yeah. I'm not sure when this episode will go out, but August 15th, Golden Corner Wrestling, Cedric will be there, and looking forward to seeing. If you've never seen him wrestle, just phenomenal athlete, and right. from all accounts, phenomenal guy.
Right.
The match after that, was there a match between Bobby Fulton and Cedric Alexander?
No.
Okay. So the match after that was
there was a girls match that you missed.
Okay, so the girls match. What, any thoughts on that?
I got it went beat.
Give Divas a chance. Or excuse me, hashtag Divas give me a chance to go pee.
No, I didn't. It was an okay match. It wasn't. I ain't gonna lie. I call things like they are. It wasn't a good match. It was clunky, they didn't have chemistry.
Mm.
You know, you gotta have chemistry with the
right
with the person, and they didn't.
There was a match with listen, we don't know the guys' names.
These are virtual unknowns in the wrestling. That's what it is. That's what they're doing here.
It was the next match was a tall guy against a short guy.
Yeah.
And the tall guy looked good. Not a great match. Not even maybe a good match. Both gave good efforts. A lot of arm working tonight.
Yeah. There again. Good selling. It's older school guys trying to make these guys slow down. Wrestle. Yeah.
And basically it's probably like, we know what you can do. We're going to show you what you need to do.
Right. And I would say, I may be wrong, but I would say if you're here for the fantasy camp and you didn't get to wrestle this evening, you're probably not going to win the Reed Flair Memorial Scholarship.
Right. Well, some of them will get a chance
tomorrow
to wrestle. There was a six-man match that I thought was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was a pretty good match. You know? I mean, it was what it was. They actually wrestled, which I thought was
they
good.
They did.
They wrestled.
And
there was some mat wrestling going on, so that was good.
One of the heels, they kept working his arm. And I thought, what I appreciate, he sold the arm.
Right.
And he sold the arm not just when you were looking, like right after the guy had let go, but even a few beats after that when maybe you weren't paying attention. He did a little something extra to sell the arm.
Right.
And I liked that. I like it when maybe the people aren't looking anymore, but I'm going to do this anyway.
Right.
In case they are. There was one guy who looked like a young Bruiser Brody or young Gunner. He had a great look. It came out and had just a different look in his – I mean, had a crazy look in his eye.
Right.
I mean, the faces in that match, they did a good job. And then the main event. Any other thoughts on the six-man match? I'm sorry. Yeah,
he was nothing like Bruiser Brody.
No. Just
I get what you're saying.
He had a dark hair and a beard.
Yeah, but he was like a foot shorter.
I listen, I'm not the person to gauge on height.
Yeah. But he, I mean, I said even, he's like a mini Brody.
Yes. But you said mini. Yeah.
His hair wasn't long. It was long, but not near as long as good.
And my whole thing was just the way he looked at the crowd.
Right. He did. That's the thing. He did have a good, but he also, you said he looked more like Gunner to you, and I saw that.
Physically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I said, when he walked out the door, the way he looked at the crowd was different than anybody else all night.
Right, right.
Man, between a guy walking out, trying to start a fight outside, and the light.
I think he's a guy that finishes fights. I don't think he's a guy that starts a fight. I think he finishes a fight.
I'm the guy who escapes a fight.
You're a guy that tries to wisecrack his way out of a fight.
Hey, I've done this try. I'm pretty successful. True. Maybe the best.
Of all time. Heath, would you say you're better than anybody at avoiding a fight?
Oh, I'm definitely. I've proven that. 40 years. 40 years. The record, my record of having no record speaks for itself.
You are 0-0. That's good.
No wins, no losses, no ties. So, and then the main event was Scott Steiner, who is still over and still gets real heat.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, he was.
Against Wes Briscoe.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't want to say what we said at the match.
Nah,
no need for that.
As Wes Briscoe, I just don't think he's got it.
I agree.
You know, I want him to. I do.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because there's such a good lineage there.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I don't want to talk bad about the guy.
No.
And normally I do. And normally it doesn't bother me. So I don't know why I don't. I don't know. Right. Man.
No need.
Maybe he just needs more experience. But
I mean, let's be in all fairness to the young man. I don't know. He had a run in TNA.
Right.
But is that the best experience somebody can get? I mean, true. Who was he working with? Who was coaching him behind the scenes,
right,
in promos and selling and that sort of thing, right. And it was an entertaining match for all the reasons think.
Not that he's not good. There's just nothing. There's nothing about him that stands out.
I agree.
Maybe I think that's what I agree. Mean. It's just
we're not saying he's not a good. There's just, like you said, the it factor.
Right, right.
That Scott Steiner clearly has.
Oh, yeah, man. Scott Steiner walks in, he looks like a star.
Even before Scott Steiner, when he was Rick Steiner's little brother and wasn't doing promos, he had it.
Yeah. Right.
He had that look. He had that feel. He's just a star. Just great, and did a great heel promo tonight. The only promo I heard of the night. But I guess I'm thinking is, you got Scott Steiner here. You got to put him against somebody.
Yeah, and it needs to be somebody.
It wasn't an intriguing match.
Yeah, it's not that Wes Briscoe can't work.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So correct. I would say if I had to put Scott Steiner against anybody, that's the guy, because he's not going to. He's not going to mess around and try to hip toss Scott Steiner.
Right.
You know, because I did see that. I mean, and that kind of thing's not going to happen with Wes Briscoe, because he is sharp. He is crisp with what he does.
He did his job tonight.
Right. He did. He went out there. He didn't hurt Scott Steiner.
Yes.
He took all Scott Steiner's offense. He got his heat when he was supposed to get his heat. You know, he did a service, and there's not a knock to say that you can go have a good match with Scott Steiner.
Yeah. Nobody
said. But I just don't think he's going to be a WWE main event.
Right, right. Like, when you clock out of work and people say, well, you just did a job today.
Right.
Well, I did my job. I did a good job.
Right.
That's not a put down.
Right.
When you say somebody did the job or did their job. That's a compliment.
Yeah.
Because your job is make money, not hurt anybody, and for a little while there, I thought Scott Steiner was going to kill old Wes Briscoe.
Yeah. It looked like it.
I mean, Scott Steiner's got me believing he's a little bit off.
True. But super nice to me.
Yes. When we had our picture and stay in school, kids.
Stay in school. Get your education. Because you don't want to wind up in a situation where they can't give you wages and you can't buy you food.
Speaking of doing a job, you don't want to do your job 30 years. They give you a watch, kick you in the butt, and say, "Hey, daddy, a computer took your." Listen, if they're telling you a computer took, they're going to be telling some of these McDonald's workers,
"Boy,
a computer took your job.
Computer took your job, daddy."
Listen, I walk into the QT, I go up to that touch screen, I tell it I want a pretzel with cheese, and somebody hands it to me. We've cut out the middleman.
And it's always right.
Yeah. Oh, golly, yes. Yes, sir, it is.
It's always right.
Oh, my goodness.
Because if it ain't right, it's going to be your fault.
If I tell it I want a number one, it doesn't ask me if I want the combo. It just knows I want a number one and everything that comes with it. If I tell it I want to, if I punch in one large, it doesn't ask me what size I want. It knows.
Right. If I say I want a number one large with a Coke, it didn't lose its place at trying to find the one on the keyboard and have to ask me, "Wait, what did you want to drink with that?"
Listen, I wish I could say to people clocking out of some fast food restaurant, "Hey, you did a job today." You know, I'll say to them, "You had one job." Had a lady tell me a couple weeks ago, we may have said this already on the show, it doesn't matter, it bears repeating. Get your education, kids. Learn how to do something. Work hard. Like Ole Anderson said, do what you're told. Yeah. Lady told me, she told a grown man, we're not talking about a teenager, told a grown man to mop the dining area. He did not know how to work the mop.
How do you not? You get it wet and you push it.
He struggled with that. Now, I will say, I mean, some of those mop buckets are a little bit complicated because you got to put the mop head back in there. Do you pull it towards you, or do you push it?
Yeah, you got to work the thing to squeeze it, you know.
Have you ever, we had one time when I worked at Hardee's, dude went to mop, and he used the old dirty cold water.
Yeah.
And I just remember just the manager's like, "What are you doing?" It's like, "I'm mopping." With what? This water? That water's? Oh, it's like, oh my goodness! I wish these people quit ruining my life.
Yeah, that's that thing about Walmart or McDonald's.
You got jet lag.
Yeah, I got jet lag now. That's a big deal, man. That's a big, you know, it's a lot of people in the workforce.
Yeah.
Taken out.
Let me ask you this.
I think it'll be a while before they do it.
When you go to Walmart and you got an option between self-checkout and the other checkout, what you choosing?
Oh, I let them do it. I got a job.
So even if you got like three things.
Oh, if I got three things.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, golly.
If I got groceries,
I'm going through the big line.
Yeah, I ain't doing all that. Matter of fact, I was in Walmart the other week, and it's not like I had four or five things. Okay, yeah. Let me say that. I had to go up there late, and I would say I had a good 30, 40 items. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the only thing open was one of those self-checkouts, and I let her do it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She rung them all up for me at the self-checkout thing and put them in the buggy. Because I just got off work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But she was there waiting to help you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like she gave me attitude
It's not like you stopped.
I'm not putting that down. No. I mean,
because that's their job. That's their job.
I just worked all day. I didn't want to ring my groceries up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know some people just want to take advantage of the working man and just kind of boss them around, make them do every little thing. But that's, you know, that's not, you know, that's not for me to say. You know, I'm not neither here nor there. But, you know, daddy.
Pretty big talk from a fat boy that works one dang hour a week.
Dover had a good point. More like 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. Time you figure in the singing and...
I mean, it'll be interesting to see. So we're getting ready in the morning.
Anybody that's a working person out there, they'll know what I'm talking about.
I know.
Listen, if you work at McDonald's, I don't think you ought to have to go bag your groceries. If you work...
No, I'm just saying. Yeah.
If you work at Walmart, I don't think you ought to have to go fix your own sandwich at McDonald's.
Can I tell you something? I think every boy, every 15-year-old boy in the country... You turn 15, automatically, you go bag groceries.
Yeah. Did you do that for them?
I did not. I did not bag groceries. Yeah. Now, my mom could tell you the difference between a good grocery bagger and a bad grocery bagger.
Yeah.
Back in the day when you had the paper bags,
uh-huh.
You know, you get your cold stuff in together. Put your bread, make sure the bread, eggs, that kind of stuff's on top. Now, right. Walmart, it's one thing per bag.
Yeah, they're putting in. Yeah, if you get 60 things, you're toting 60 bags.
Oh,
in
golly. But to me, that was always a good job where you learn how to deal with people. We had a young man deliver us a pizza tonight.
Yeah.
He could have just, he had a conversation with us.
Right.
It wasn't long. But that young man's going places because he knows how to have a conversation with a grown human being.
Right. And that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's end with, because we're talking about the ability to.
2 o'clock in the morning. Now we're philosophizing about how you should, you know, how you're.
We're getting
advice on work ethic from a guy that works 15 minutes a week.
Listen, do you get calls? Has anybody ever come to your house at 3 o'clock in the morning needing gas money?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. I told him. He said.
Was it this guy?
No. It actually did. It was not 3. It was about 2.
Yeah.
And my doorbell rang, and a guy said, I said, who is it? And he said, my name's so-and-so. I need a ride to Sandy Springs. And I said, only thing you need to do is get the HE double hockey sticks off of my front porch before I start shooting through the door.
Oh, gosh.
And he said, I understand, sir. Sorry I bothered you. And all I heard was,
You don't live next to a church, though, Dad.
No, I live next to a school. That's what made it. I don't live next to a highway. This was a guy that walked up into a residential neighborhood.
Yeah.
Knocked on my door.
Yeah, that's bad news.
Nah.
Nah, that's bad. Nah. Yeah. We're talking about people being able to carry
Tell
on.
Tell me what I had happen to me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've done things at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Listen, I don't think we need to go there.
I have done things.
So the Jim Cornette, Lance Russell. Jim Cornette had a comment about somebody where he talked, you know, that the real funny saying.
Yeah. The guy got up, and as it happens a lot of times with that thing.
A lot of times.
They don't have as much a question as they do.
Think I speak for all of us.
Right. I remember the time, you know, that Terry Funk, Jerry Lawler had that empty arena match, yeah. And it was this and that and other. Do you remember that?
The Chris Farley effect.
Yeah, you're right. They asked the Chris Farley question, you know. It was just such a great line. And Jim Cornette said, that wasn't really a question. It was more of a statement. But it may have been the finest example of backwoods gibberish that I've ever heard in my life.
And then Jim, you know, Jim Cornette says, hi, everybody. Yeah, I know.
Everybody, take it easy. I know the guy. I'm just messing with him.
Oh, man. Well, we're not missing.
Well, the heel has to tell everybody, I'm just being a heel. He can't help it.
Yeah, it was that kind of
heel. You know.
Listen, we're not messing with you. You need to go to doubledropkick.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Well, hopefully you can find us on iTunes.
Yes. Don't know what's going on. If you are a subscriber in the podcast app, then you haven't had any problems, but we have had some problems, people looking for the show
right.
in iTunes. Don't fret. You can listen on the website, doubledropkick.com. You can download from the website. Maybe you got plenty of space on your computer. You can hit the download button right there on there. I
listen to it through the website on my Kindle sometimes.
See, that's brilliant. That's technology.
I plug the Kindle.
Your Kindle's trying to replace your phone.
Yeah, I plug it into the stereo when I'm cooking supper and cut the stereo up and hit play on the Kindle from doubledropkick.com.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Go on Facebook. You can see the Double Dropkick show page. You need to click on that thumb and like it. Go to our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, and we just talk about the wrestling you grew up with. Not complicated.
Ironically enough.
Yes.
A group called The Wrestling You Grew Up With. We just talk about the wrestling you grew up with.
It's getting late. You can also, on Twitter, Justin Donahue just recently used the hashtag Marking Out with Mark.
Yeah.
I am on Twitter at
Heathma. What was the question? Do you remember? So I can go ahead and answer it now.
What was the a regret from your career?
That I didn't go get trained by somebody with a little better credentials. That would really be it. I wish I'd gone to George South's training school.
Was he around then? Was that an option?
Yeah, it was. And that really is it. Like, if I was going to spend the money to get trained, I should have went and got trained by somebody that knew some people that could have opened some doors for me. So.
Yeah. And George can do that. George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the connection was between him and Italian Stallion at one time, but the Hardy Boys, Shannon Moore, a lot of those guys, they had worked with Italian Stallion, and him and George South had a connection somehow in the past. So, yeah, I mean, Ric Flair thinks enough of him that he sent his children there to be trained.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, and so did Steamboat.
Yeah.
When Steamboat's son wanted to start wrestling. I mean, they all went to George South and asked him to do it.
So. Yeah, that's good.
That would have been where I'd start. So that's it. That's the answer to that.
Yeah. The biggest regret of my career was that I didn't have a career. But, hey, I'm 40, and maybe, hey, you and I coming up here, we're going to do commentary.
Yeah.
And, hey, it's never too late to start, right?
It's never too late to go have fun.
That's exactly right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Me and you ain't going to get rich doing this podcast or commentating on wrestling. But you know what? I take it just like I took it when I started wrestling. It's a hobby.
Yeah.
It's fun, and I enjoy doing it.
And the thing about this weekend,
I get to make fun of you every so often.
Sometimes when you do a podcast, you're wondering, man, is anybody listening? Does it matter? When you get somewhere and you do meet somebody who listens to your show,
uh-huh.
and you get to start building that relationship.
Right. I just talked quite a bit while you were gone.
Yeah.
With Bill.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give him the last name out because I don't know if he wants me to.
Right, right.
But Bill.
Yeah, super guy.
Great guy. And what's up, Bill? Appreciate you spreading the word for me.
We got an interview with him. That's probably been posted by now.
Yeah.
The red carpet of the Mid-Atlantic Memories documentary before the show.
Right.
Sorry, my brain is... So it has been... We got one more day. Looking forward to it. I'll actually be here for the duration. Looking for some good wrestling tomorrow afternoon. Looking to meet some new superstars. Mark met the Patriot today. I'm looking forward to meeting him tomorrow and hear him preach in the morning.
Yeah, you should enjoy that.
So, I don't think we forgot anything.
If I did, I'll tell it later. I'll create a couple of stories. I'll make a few stories up between now and the next time we talk.
Well, as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulligan.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.